The Word of God plainly teaches us that there is, in fact, a great day coming. It's the greatest of days, the greatest ever known, and greatest that will ever be known to man. It is a day appointed by God in which all men will be judged. Notice in Acts 17:31, in the reading we just had a moment ago, God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained and has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Maybe if I put my glasses on, I could read this. Ah, there it is. In the day wherein God shall judge the secrets of men, according to the gospel, according to Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, it's the day in which the bodies of men will be raised. Now notice carefully, John 6 and verse 40, Jesus says, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." Then in John 6 and verse 44, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day." And then finally, verse 54, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." In John chapter 11 and verse 23, Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." And she said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Also, it is the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God. According to Romans 2 and verse 5, in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. It will, no doubt, be a marvelous and a fantastic day. But it will also not only be a marvelous and a wonderful day for all of those who are expecting it and who are going to be received by Jesus, but it also will be an awful day and a terrible day for those who are not ready. And that's the only two options. That is the only two options that we're presented with. Now, I'd like to examine why it is a great day. First of all, it will have the greatest demonstration ever known. That is the second coming of Christ. The Lord will come with a trumpet of God and the voice of an archangel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52. Also 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." He will come back with his mighty angels. Now, this is over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, where Paul talks here about them having rest with them when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Notice, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and who do not obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31 says, "The Son of Man comes in glory and all the holy angels with him. Then he will sit on the throne of his glory." But we also find that the saints, or the righteous dead, will be with him. In 1 Thessalonians 3 and 13, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and going down to verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep. And again, Jude chapter 1. I guess there's only one chapter, so. But anyway, Jude verses 14 and 15. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, this is setting the scene for us. We also find out that he will come in the clouds, and every eye shall see him. We know, first of all, when upon his ascension, he was in the presence of the apostles, and he was raised up into the clouds, and they saw him no more. And the angels who stood there said, he'll come back in the like manner that he left. But Revelation says in Revelation 1 and 7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. But this is also going to be accompanied by everything on earth being destroyed. We know from 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works in it will be burned up. Now, Jesus did not come in 1914, which was something that the Jehovah's Witnesses had prophesied and had made a big deal of, and then when it didn't happen, they came up with some other explanation for it. Jesus didn't come. When he comes, he's going to be visible to everyone, not just to his own. When the Lord returns, everyone will know it, and it will be the greatest overwhelming demonstration ever known to mankind. On that day, it will be the great resurrection. Now, I want you to look at John 5 with me, please. I didn't spend much time with it so far, but I want to go over here to John 5 and verse 28. In John 5, it says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Now, if we just had this to deal with, we could say, well, all that are righteous in the graves. But that's not what it says. He says all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good, there's the righteous, to the resurrection of life. And those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. One resurrection. But it's going to be everyone, good and bad. There will not be two resurrections. I want you to turn with me over to Acts chapter 24 and verse 15. And the apostle Paul is being tried here. And he says, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and the unjust. The great resurrection will occur when Christ returns. How do we know this? Well, in 1 Corinthians 15:52, Paul says, in the moment, the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, whenever he was talking here, he wasn't talking about the dead who were unrighteous. He was talking about the dead who were righteous. And he said, they will be raised incorruptible, and we, alive, will be changed. When he returns, also the righteous will ascend up in the air to meet the Lord. How do we know? Well, here it is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 15. Those who are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead will rise dead in Christ will rise first. Then, second, those who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Simple as that. Well, what about men today with their premillennial ideas? Well, men today have come up with modern theories of millennialism, and they have a problem here. And their problem is they get the last day, but it's not really the last day. It is sort of the last day. Like, they look at John 6:44, and they say, Jesus says, I will raise him up the last day. But that's not really the last day, because there's another Trump going to be, not, that's not Trump as in president, trumpet. But there's another Trump going to sound, and that's going to sound after what happened. Well, at 1 Corinthians, we read it a moment ago, moment in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. But you see, they've got things happening after the last. And pretty soon you've got, well, it's last for this, but then there's last over here. And on we go. The trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised. And in 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 24, then comes the end. Now get this. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. What end? Well, the same people will tell you, well, no, this is going to be 1,000 years after this. No, that's not it. It says the end. And quite frankly, one of the problems they have is with this being the last age. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, these things happen to them as examples and written for our admonition, upon whom, now listen, the ends of the ages have come. Now, what does that mean? That means this is the end of the ages. There's not another one to follow. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 26 through 28, Paul says that he then would have had to suffer since the foundation of the world. But now, listen, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men once to die, after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. That's as plain as it can get. The great day that's coming will be the last day of the last age. The New Testament does not in any place foretell another dispensation as the Old Testament did. The Old Testament set all the groundwork, laid it all for a new testament or a new covenant, but there's no more. There's no more. But it is also the great day because it's the greatest crowd that will assemble. Just imagine this for a moment. All men of all nations. This is just unfathomable. But that's what Matthew 25 says. The Son of Man comes in His glory with His holy angels, sits on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Do you realize what this means? This means that everyone who has ever lived will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone. And they will receive in accordance with the things done in the body, whether good or bad. I'll never forget when I was having a discussion with the father of a young lady who had obeyed the gospel and was trying to teach her family the truth. And we got to this, and he says, no, that 2 Corinthians 5, that's only talking about the righteous people. And that's only the resurrection and judgment of the righteous people. And I said, well, let me see. It says all must appear, but he says all's qualified there by the righteous. I said, okay, let's see if that holds. That we may receive the things done in the body according to what they have done, whether good or bad. How much bad do you think you can get away with and still be in the righteous? He never had an answer for that. That good and bad thing, it was only good in his mind. Only good. We must all give an account of ourselves unto God. That's what Romans 14 tells us. He says, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Simple as that. And when we give an account of ourselves to God, we realize that God is going to judge men according to their works, without respect of persons. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, says, if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves to the time of your stay here in fear. In other words, God is going to judge us. And you had better have that in mind as you go from day to day. God is going to judge us. And there'll be no mistaken identity either. God knows everything that we ever thought of. And I might add, we're going to account for ourselves. No one can pitch it for us. Or no one can come to the rescue. Each will receive justice, not mercy, on that day. You say, that's a tough road to hoe. Yes, it is. But the time for mercy and forgiveness is now. Too late to wait till judgment. But the greatest judge will also preside. Jesus Christ is the one that's ordained by God to judge all men. In Acts 10:42, he commanded us to preach to the people and testify that God ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Christ is going to judge them all. And he is a righteous judge, according to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. Now, this judgment, again, will occur at his second coming. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now, many things influence judges in the courts of the land today. They can be deceived, and they're only human, and they do make mistakes. But this will not be so whenever Jesus sets in judgment. Jesus will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and judge every man righteously. But it will be a great day also, because the greatest books will be opened. We turn over to Revelation chapter 20. And notice here in verses 11 and 12, John says, I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. The books were opened. These refer to the books of the Bible. In Romans 2:16, better push that button. I can't even read it here on my note. Romans 2:16, in that day when God will judge the secrets of men according to my gospel. James tells us in James chapter 2 and verse 12, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. John 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. But then another book was opened. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3 talks about this book. I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Revelation 3, I guess I better, there we go. Revelation 3 and verse 5, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Revelation 13 and verse 8, all who dwell on earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The dead were judged out of the things written in the books. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. Push that one there. That each one may receive the things done in the body. Well, that's 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. We just read that, didn't we? Let's go on to Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. God will bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether good or evil. All the dead will be judged by the scriptures in accordance with their works. And what's interesting about this is the Bible will read then just as it does now. Jesus in Matthew 24 and verse 35 said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. What does that mean? That means that his words are set in stone. They're set in stone. Now, the question would be, have you obeyed the holy precepts that are contained within these books? Jesus told the people who questioned him in the sixth chapter in verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the work we're supposed to do. And in Acts 17 and verse 30, Paul said, all men everywhere are what? Commanded to repent. There's a change of mind that takes place here. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. In Acts 22 and verse 16, there it is. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Simple. There's what you have to obey. But if you've done all of this, the question might be, are you faithful in attendance and in building up the body of Christ? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 says to us, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How can we exhort one another without coming together? And how can we obey this precept of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together whenever we let anything and everything keep us from the assembly? I just don't see it. But here's one thing that we got to keep in mind. This day that's coming will also herald the greatest separation ever known. The greatest separation ever known to man will occur on this day. Yeah, that's the way it's going to be. The sheep will be placed on the Lord's right hand, and all the goats will be on his left. Look at the text. The Son of Man comes in his glory with all the holy angels sitting on the throne of his glory. The nations will be gathered before him, and he will be separating them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. The righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say of those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, let me get a hold of this just a minute. When this great separation takes place, there's going to be a father on the right side, right side for you, okay? and a son on the left side. There will be a daughter on the right side and her mother on the left. That's just the facts. That's what's going to happen. Well, what can we do to not have loved ones separated? Well, each one must fear God and keep His commandments. This is what Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14 says. This is the whole, this is everything that man needs. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. We must serve God together now so that we can all enjoy the land of bliss then. But it's also the greatest day because it's the day when the greatest verdict is going to be handed down. Those on the left hand, will receive a verdict. It's stated here in Matthew chapter 24 or 25 and verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And down in verse 23 of Matthew 7, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is talking about a place that Jesus solemnly warned against. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 47, actually 47 and 48, Jesus said to the people, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Now listen. Where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Listen to that. They wish they could die, but they don't. They wish the fire would go out, but it doesn't. That's why I think with what Jesus tells us about it, we need to avoid it at all cost. But the rest of the verdict. Those on the right hand will receive this verdict. Matthew 25 and verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This has been something that is promised and prepared for the righteous. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, listen carefully. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, there was a guy who said, you show me one passage of scripture where it talks about something promised from you in heaven. I'll tell you that. I can find a whole bunch of them, but here's one. Now, the question really comes down to this. What will the verdict be for you? Some say, well, I don't know. I just have to wait and see, I guess. But I want to submit some things for your consideration in the final minutes here. You determine what the verdict will be by the way that you live now. Now, did you get that? You determine what the verdict will be by the way you live. If, as you go from day to day, you live as God would have you live, the verdict will be eternal life, as God has promised. But if you live in sin, ignoring God's laws, that verdict will be eternal condemnation, just as he said. So, what do you need? You need to prepare yourself now. You know, I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. In an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Well, why is it? Why is now the day of salvation? Well, yesterday is already gone. You can't change it. Tomorrow hasn't come, so you can't make any changes in it. The only thing you can do is right now, be sure that you are indeed doing the will of the Father who is in heaven. Without a doubt, there is a great day coming. The question, and the question in the song, are you ready for that day to come? Now, if you're not ready, you need to make yourself ready by obeying the gospel, by becoming a child of God, by being buried with Christ in the waters of baptism and putting on Jesus Christ. If you've fallen by the wayside, we need to have you repent and return. Just because you've fallen doesn't mean you can't get back up again. But it's up to you. Remember, you will determine how you are going to face eternity by the way you live now. Because now is all you've got.